Good morning. It's 7:43 a.m. May the 2nd, 2014. Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. Today I am quite tired. 17 and a half, not bad. That's considering that it took me forever to get the photograph this morning. So that's not too bad. And I forgot to share it to G+. So yesterday's big excitement was a Forbes post from the woman whose name I can't remember, but who is the one of the principals in Pub Slush, which is a crowdfunding indie author marketing place. The three things that publishers and indies need to do in order to fix the ebook market. And in a couple of ways, it was moderately insulting. That's pretty much what I expected of Forbes. They are, generally speaking, moderately insulting when it comes to anything other than mainstream. And some of her solutions were, some of her assessments of the problems were laughably inadequate. But yeah, that was the big doings yesterday, as far as I can tell. I didn't see anything else going around. It's kind of lame. I prepared a whole long response and got to the end, it's cancel. Because the reality is, that nothing anybody says is going to change your mind. That's like the guy who thinks POD is Vanity Press. The reality, the facts are not going to stand in the way of his perception, his worldview. It's not. Not really. That's not open for debate. I think in his booklet, I think I've got him to drop the comparison to Vanity Press by calling POD Vanity Press. But a lot of what he describes as the process of working with POD is really the process of working with Vanity Press, and that POD doesn't work that way. You don't pay $500 and get 5 copies free. That's not how it works. That's Vanity Press. Vanity Presses typically offer editing, and I can understand his confusion, because I was looking at CreateSpace and they have all of these other services that they do offer covers. You can get a CreateSpace cover. If you want a CreateSpace cover, only someone who doesn't really care would really take a CreateSpace cover, but that's not true. That would be, I think somebody who doesn't know any better would take a CreateSpace cover, because basically they're pretty amateur. They're plainly geared for, I don't care what it looks like, I just want to publish a book. And it's free, so you get what you pay for. So that's kind of a problem, but it's all right. The other part is I think they offer editorial services. They offer a turnkey, send us your manuscript and we'll produce the book and give you the file back. But I think that's the difference. They'll give you the file back. They don't charge you to create the file and then keep it. All the other ones, they're all publishers. They're not printers. That's not how that works. It seems perfectly, it's absolutely clear to me what the difference between print on demand and vanity is, based on where do they get the most of their income. Which goes back to PubSlush, on the PubSlush website, they cite three or four of their PubSlush marketing success stories. And the sales on these books, particularly in Kindle, the sales on these books are really... Seriously? Book a month is success. There's a couple, I guess, that sell a book a week, but that's success. I suppose it's success because it was crowdsourced. They successfully crowdsourced it and got it published. But the reality is they didn't sell any. Or if they did, it was a very short period of time. I mean, these are the current success stories cited on the front page of the website. Something's seeming quite copacetic. Not quite match with what I would see as successful. Successfully, it seems to me successful you have to be at least above 100,000. With something like 1.3 million ebooks now on Kindle, being in the top 1%, which is what 10,000 would be, would count as successful. I suppose 100,000 is at the top 10%. The problem is that the difference between 100,000, which is, well, okay, it's about one a day, and 10,000, which is about 10 a day, that's a pretty big difference. That's the difference between 30 sales a month and 300 sales a month. Yeah, it's a factor of 10, duh. But beyond the raw dollar value of the sales, it's the reach. It's the how many readers are you getting to. It's the metric of how do you grow an audience. Now, 10 sales a month, holy crap, 10 sales a month is, or 30 sales a month, 30 sales a month, that's 3 months to get to 100. That's almost 3 years to get to 1,000. Now, granted, in theory, you'll pick up momentum, assuming the book is worth talking about. The problem is that there's a horizon beyond which sales fall into this sort of maintenance level. I think Mike Tanis' books are all in that maintenance level now. They're probably all around 70,000, 80,000 sales rank. They're selling a book or two a day. I'd have to look. And I say that, and I have no idea really what the numbers are. I'm just talking. Well, those numbers would not surprise me. Speaking of sales numbers, we broke 25,000 on the Myth, Magic, and Majesty box set. It's like 25,500 units sold worldwide. And that, I'm not... I'm not going to pay for my Balticon bill on that one, but the idea that 25,000 people now have 25,000 new people outside of my normal population now have a copy of Ravenwood. Now, that's pretty big. That's pretty big. That's a nice reach. That's a nice number. And, you know, it's only going to be a small percentage of them that actually cross over and keep going in the series. And they have a lot of other books to get through as well. I'm trying to think of who else is in that. I think David Douglas is in that. I know the dragon guy is in it. I can't think of his name. Brain dead right now. Monk Post. So yeah, that's pretty good. That's anyway, that's pretty decent. I'd forgotten how lovely it could be out here in the morning. All the wind was, all the wind was ugly. It's really quite pleasant out this morning. I'm wearing my windbreaker, but I had to unzip it because it's too warm. I think it's 50. Might be 55, but I think it's like 50 this morning. Pretty sky. Quite a lovely sky. Just a few wispy clouds here and there. A few contrails from air traffic. Today is Friday. It was a late night last night. The kid had rehearsal ran till almost 10:30. The play's over next week. It's not, won't be soon enough. And in theory, they've got a big thespian overnight. They have a sleepover in the gym, the thespian troupe. So in theory, she's supposed to go that tonight, but in practice, I don't think she's going to go. I think she's going to choose to stay home. I made arrangements to get the permission slips that she needed. Well, she never picked them up. So I think that the reality is I don't think she really wants to go. I don't think she really is all that interested in doing it. She's been getting into The Sims lately. Interesting. So I don't know what tonight's going to bring, but I'm pooped. I'm exhausted. Like, cats got me up at like 4:15. I got up, dragged them all out of the bedroom, fed them, then I went back to bed. I'm still tired this morning. There's too many late nights this week. Not enough sleep. Got my exercise the last few days. It's something. Step in the right direction. I've learned that I need to be a little more careful about what I say in the morning, so I'm likely to be a bit more circumspect. You're likely to hear me walking and not talking more, just because if I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about it. And if I can't talk about it, then it's not going to stop me from thinking about it. So, yeah, the walking and not talking, yeah. I'll try to keep that to a minimum, but some days are like that, what can I say? One of the problems was this exercise is that my internal editors tend to get shut down. I tend to say things that I probably shouldn't. Good morning. Never on her scooter. I'd fall and break my neck. I keep thinking I'd like to have like a motorcycle or something. It's like, really? Dumbass? How bad do you want to die? It's not that I think that they're inherently dangerous. I think I'm inherently dangerous on a motorcycle. I'm easily distracted. It's bad enough in the car, but the car offers a bit of protection should I get really distracted. The car offers no opportunity to stop at a stop sign and fall over. Little things like that. It has decent brakes. Has a place to put the groceries. So, yeah, so, as much fun as it sounds, the reality of it is, you know, I don't need to be that cool. I'll just derp along in my old man Taurus. Raised crosswalk ahead. I think it has done. They put in this traffic quelling protocol here last year when they started talking about punching the road through back at the end of the neighborhood here and taking it out to the access road on the far side, up behind the mall. And they put all these traffic quelling measures. 0 miles in 36 minutes, 18 seconds. Oof. Almost 19 minutes. Yeah, I didn't push very hard. So we've got race crosswalks, we've got medians, we've got some garden spots in the middle of the road that people have to drive around. And I think the raised sidewalk does a pretty good job. Every once in a while you'll hear somebody who doesn't know it's there or understand how much of a bump it is. You'll hear them hit it. Kabang. Yeah. But generally people slow down for it, so that's a good sign. Anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow? Well, tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, we'll talk to you then.